Yeah, I was, didn't really have any particular, no, it helped everyone. I just was really making feel good about the country, to find this little mincy mouth man. He was proud of 43 years at Chrysler, and he's proud that he knew something about arc welding, and he's on a management consultant and on a good one. God damn, I'll tell you, that your Eastern establishment friend would have laughed at this poor little fellow.
And not taking $50.
I'm proud of him. Weren't you?
That's right. All of my professor friends would have taken this $50.
Oh, yeah. He was so nice.
I'm saying I don't want a phony prize. He probably did get a phony prize anyway.
I just never was so pleased with seeing somebody in London. I just thought he was great.
No, he was very, very good.
And,
I'll be back till tomorrow. His plane is late. And his plane back. Well, no, his plane is late. He planned to capture 3:30 plane this afternoon out of New York, but now his plane from Moscow isn't there until about 8, so he probably will miss the shuttle for lunch on Friday if he doesn't call me tomorrow. We might as well find out what they've got to say, if anything. And if he has nothing, that too will be significant. Try to sweat us out. In that case, we have to go unilaterally. And I just make my sold offer then public. I mean, will you recommend that you might make the sold offer public?
You know, I think that idea of Baker had somebody making a nice let's have an ICBM free zone. It's a clever damn move. Nothing's gonna happen to either one. We hope.
Well, I think we know we have.
His point is that defensive weapons are no threat to anybody. If I don't free the offensive
weapons. Well, we've offered them. But we have proposed to this an offensive
free. That's what I'm getting. It's down in the Senate. Let the propaganda. Let's make a motion. Tell them it's a propaganda. Why don't they put in a motion to do that and then start something else? But we've got that on the spot.
That's right.
If they're all talking about ATM, why not let's have a free zone out there? See, that gives our guys something to do for.
That's right.
So I told Baker or whatever it is, or let's get it done through McGregor's office. Let's get it.
I thought I'd have Baker in for lunch sometime also on the whole Weisenheber. I don't know him at all.
Well, it's probably worth it. I think though that, there isn't any reason really to try to, he's basically simply reacting politically to a situation. And you know, I guess Garnier is, they both are, Baker's a very capable man, but some on the lazy side. He's extremely articulate, extremely active. Gurney is a little on the gun side.
That's right.
But usually on our side.
Yes.
Always stands up. The problem is, though, that both are simply reflecting their mail and they're reflecting the rest. I must say, I wrote a memorandum to Holden on it, though, that I don't think that type of meeting was when I planned. I told them to get together four or five senators who wanted to come in and say, look, we support the president. We don't give a goddamn what it is. What can we do to help?
That's right.
Instead of going in with a crying foul session with a bunch of people. And I looked around that table and I'm whining. point is, Henry, let me put it this way.
You see it, not try, baby.
Well, the point is, I know what they think. Good God, who knows better than I that everybody wants to get rid of the war right away? Who knows better than I that they'd like to get out this summer? I know it, God. I know it. You know it. And actually, that's why none of them, well, not them, Ager would have been released. The rest, they wouldn't have made the speech I made on April 7th. They would have caved. That's why we got such a, I mean, this time, I can see McGregor's problem. It was greater than perhaps you may have realized. I knew it was great. But see, where McGregor gets down there, he gets that kind of crap from our friends, like Ager. He has to reflect that.
Absolutely.
And McGregor's a stand-up ball. But the point that we have to bear in mind is that I think a very critical thing that they made, you know, that we got to mention to you before, that while we know that as we put it, having communists in the streets of Hue or Saigon next year could be destructive to us, we must also realize that we can be destroyed also by not finishing it this year. You see my point? The idea, and that's really the point they were making. He said, you've got to end it this year. Well, I did clarify, I think what he meant is, tell us if it's ended. They must know. That's my point. We've got to pull the rug out from under this year. So when the negotiating track is over, him, the thing to do then is to move. When it's over.
But I think...
Let's have no illusions about spending money making us games, because let me put that the significant thing. They are right. We wouldn't have lost SSC except for the war. It would not have been lost.
Probably.
We would not, and also, we wouldn't have the problem that we have on national defense if it were not for the war, curiously enough. The difficulty is, you see, this enormous frustration that is working around. They play it all off the war, these dirty bastards. Now, what we've got to do, we have got to get the war off our hands in the right way so that we can turn stronger on national defense. I'm convinced that whatever we deal with the Soviet, we're going to have to build up our defenses. They're never going to make a good deal with us. But let's have no illusions that on that point. I think that's the main thing that I got out of Baker's, the whole Baker journey, and Boggs all made that. To get support for our national defense issues among that kind of people, Henry, that's what we're really talking about, that kind and the waivers on the other side. The war presents a very serious problem. You see, the war has eroded America's confidence up to this point. People are sick of it, and so therefore, our aim here, of course, must be to, and we played it right to the hilt with no support. And as far as the last Laotian thing, goddamn poor execution on the part of the military. No support from anybody else. It's poor execution of the military. On the other hand, we also have to realize that simply ending the war in the right way may not save the country. At this point, if it goes too far, let's suppose the war ends. Let's suppose that it isn't known until next year, and the war is over, and then politically we go down. Country, no way. You understand?
Oh, yes.
Everything has to be played now in terms of how we survive. It has to be played that way, not because of the war, and not because of Asia, but because of defense. God damn it, nobody else is going to be for defense. Who the hell else is going to be for defense is the point I made there. Who's going to be sitting there?
Well, of course, it depends upon how one interprets ending the war. I think your strength is that you've been a strong president.
That's true. Well, I agree. I'm simply saying that we realize all of it.
Even if I think the polls, if you had announced a cave-in on April 7th, I think
in away.
2 months you would have been the way that Johnson was after Glassboro, you would have had a big rise and then a drop, but I'm no expert at that.
Let me put it this way. I had no intention of announcing cave-in, as you know, and I had no intention of it. As a matter of fact, we took the Laotian gamble solely for the reason that we had more than the ocean gamble cost us very, very seriously, because we probably did, let me put it this way, had it not been done, I think the comfort we can take on, had it not been done, there certainly would have been a big summer offensive by the communists this summer. All right. On the other hand, doing it did, as Baker put it pretty well, he thought the war issue was finished last fall. A lot of people thought it was finished, and everybody was relaxed. And that's why we held up rather well in the polls. The action in Laos itself dropped us 10 points in the polls, you know.
Oh, correct.
Just the action. And then the coverage of the action continued to drop us. We held it off just a little by a press conference. Then, of course, the night after night on television continued to drop us a little. Then came the defeat weekend, which took us a wallop. Then came Kell, which took us a wallop. And then, for the first time, we got a little bit up from a good boost by reason of doing something that the people wanted in Kell. But even after the speech, we have to realize we're only back to where we were, not to where we were before we went into Laos, but where we were after we'd taken the boat going into Laos. Yep. See my point? Now, what I'm getting at is that from now on, we have to ruthlessly play for the best news that we can.
No question.
That's why I was disturbed about Abrams' statement about you see, it's what we have to realize that from now on, I mean, the people have got to be reassured.
I agree. And we can do, well, see, a lot will depend. Supposing Hanoi fights at this proposal, then of course we'll settle the war. Then we'll settle the war this year, and then we have no problem. But assuming Hanoi rejects the proposal.
That's right. There's where we go.
Well, but then
I want us to re-examine, though, let's assume rejection. We've got to examine the strongest possible thing we can do this year. That's my point. Because we may erode so much that next year won't matter.
But that's what I'm
don't assume. You see, Henry, you've been calculating, and we've all been calculating, well, we make a final announcement in April or May of next year.
No.
Final announcement must be made late this summer. That's when it must be made.
Well,
people have got to know. I don't mean to put the date on necessarily. People have got to know the war is over. They got to know.
Well, preferably it should be made after the Vietnamese election, but
we can maybe hold that one.
But we can wait.
We've got to examine it. Let's remember, if we're going to make a final announcement, don't hold it. I mean, don't worry so God that much about the Vietnamese election. You better worry about our own.
Well, I think the final announcement should certainly be made this year. And it should be part of the next announcement.
November 15th.
Or it could be November 1st. Whether it's the 15th or the 1st of November or October 20th, makes no difference as long as the Vietnamese election is behind us. Secondly, we can during the summer.
We'll take a look at the Vietnamese election. We'll see how it comes up, who shapes up, who's getting into it. We'll see.
But we can... This summer we can announce the end of American ground combat, and we can probably, and I'm just going to drive it, announce the end of draftees being sent.
I think you've got to drive that. I think that has... Look, when a guy is hawkish as Bill Buckley,
okay,
he's saying that, God damn it, let's just do it. Now, I'll tell you, I'm getting sick of the military anyway. They drag their feet about everything, and the bastards want everything, and they're selfish.
If you had a meeting in Midway with Pew, at which you announced the end of American ground combat plus the end of American draftee.
Those two things.
That would be a pretty big story. That would take the mothers off your back immediately. If you could announce that after July 1st, no more draftees would be sent to Vietnam.
Can you drive that?
I'm driving it like crazy. Laird is fighting it, probably because he wants to lead the thing himself.
Aren't you planning to have him in for breakfast one day?
Yeah, tomorrow or Friday.
Want me to work it out now?
That would be a good one to got the razors at all of them. But I wouldn't mention this one to him, Mr. Griffin.
No, I'm mentioning this for other reasons, son of a bitch. Other than I suppose he could take him on the boat. Is it Berkeley? Is it?
No.
Larry's a good soldier, though, really.
I think breakfast would be plenty for him.
Breakfast is good. You get it around Wheeler, wouldn't you? I mean, not Wheeler,
sure. I think he'd prefer to be alone with you because you can talk a little
bit.
Do
you want you to?
I think he'd like it, but that's up to you.
Oh, I want you, but I...
No, he would like...
Are you suggesting you don't want to come?
No, I should come. He'll probably want to bitch about the joint, too.
Well, then we won't have a jeep. Set Laird in. Either morning, he can make it Thursday or Friday breakfast. And then it's 8 o'clock. Stand early, as a matter of fact. 8:30.
Another thing we could do, Mr. President, for this summer, supposing Hanoi turns us down, then I think out of the Midway thing, we should offer a deadline. We know they're going to turn it down anyway.
You've offered a deadline, but never publicly, huh?
By that time, they'll have offered the deadline privately. They'll have turned it down.
Yeah.
Then they'll offer it publicly. By that time, that will get the doves off our back for the rest of the summer. Then you can do it unilaterally. At that time, the offer would be release prisoners, cease fire, and the deadline. They will then refuse that.
Not bad.
I mean, we'll know.
About as far as we can go. I'm just asking Henry how far we can go. Short of...
Now, on the other hand, if they have accepted our proposition, so we are not...
They accepted it, it's a different case.
Then we don't announce it at Midway, we'll just get it done during the summer. And if they have accepted our proposition, the more squealing our opponents do, the better off you are. Because you know you're going to pull the rug right out from under them. So either way, once we've made the proposition to them and they've rejected it, we can have a very successful Midway meeting.
Now, what's the situation with regard to... you bring it and you will see tomorrow and Friday.
I'll ask him for lunch on Friday.
Are you? Well, that doesn't make any difference about whether you appear to be 2 years short. Right now, there's no eagerness. It's cold turkey.
It's cold turkey. I'm just going to tell him.
All right.
If you have nothing...
What's up?
If you have nothing, go and see Rogers for now.
Right.
They look awful.
And the government's talking to Newton and Montgomery said, I've never been as proud of a group of Americans as I am this.
They all kept the communists
scratching himself.
They kept the communists a little. Yeah,
they went to Arlington Cemetery and put a wreath on the unknown soldier and then gave the communist salute.
Yeah.
And I understand that Ramsey Carter gave them that communist salute. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I know he gave the. No, Montgomery gave the lead. They shared Montgomery. He gave the lead.
Yeah,
but Ramsey Carter gave them that. I'm not surprised.
They're disgusting looking bun.
No, I had to raise all the lights with it. He wanted to go out and clean them out. And I said, not his wife. Well, there's a court order.
I know.
And I heard her. I said, Jesse, just delay it. Just delay it. I don't want him now, though. I says,
well, you just don't.
In the first place, I said, I don't want a hand laid on him. I said, you can go in and hand him the order and say, gentlemen, you're asked to leave. But then just leave him alone. Let the sons of bitches there. And I want them up there in the Capitol. I'd like a few scrubby people up there grabbing a congressman when they come through.
The speaker.
Screwing their secretary. The Southern Democratic chairman met with the speaker this morning. And they all urged him to get to you and urge you not to do anything to move the veterans out. They said, just leave us there. It's you know, where it ought to be. And the speaker called Clark and I told Clark that what was their reason for doing this whole on the ground. The same thing. They were not doing themselves, they were doing their own cause harm. As soon as you move in on it, you're going to get a massive television coverage of the federal government and the president. Even though it's Washington police, it will be the president.
Yeah. They said on television that we won't go without a confrontation. But they look at.
They represent a half a million
Vietnam veterans.
That's right.
This is 1,000 that claim to be Vietnam veterans. They don't represent it and all that, so they're taking it.
They look like a sick bunch, Mr. President. Really, they had some clean-shaven American saying, I was for the war and now turned against it, that would hurt.
They could have really done some harm. Those guys had put on their neat uniforms, worn their ties, you know, done themselves
up. Look like Kelly.
Damn right. Wearing all their medals on their ribbons.
They look like...
They could have really shook the people.
How many are blacks?
Not many.
Not many.
Pictures I've seen looks like mostly whites.
And the one black they had on television last night was a real troublemaker.
He's the leader, that guy that was on Sunday.
Yes.
Well,
so they're being
not,
stupid.
They're not taking you. Now they're going to come here on Friday afternoon to turn in their medals.
Good.
And we've gone around what to do on that. The way we're going to do it is just have a White House messenger, just a guy in the mailroom, take the whatever they turn in and take it away. And when somebody asks who he is, or say he's a messenger, incoming things to the White House, he receives it.
Well, you've got to play it carefully.
And no build-up to it at all. Now, the Gold Star Mothers have risen up and have said that they want the medals turned over to them. I don't think we should do that because it makes too big a thing out of it. But they're going to show up, apparently, at the same time that the veterans come to turn in their medals. The Gold Star Mothers are going to come and bitch about these people, they're disgracing. You know, my son turned in a lot more than his medals. And I support
how many, I wonder what kind of medals they've got. I think some honest reporter ought to find out who the hell these people are. I like the money, there are not too many of them that have terrific records.
There are some.
They're bound to be.
They've got them in the last year or two. They're playing the ones that are. They started a thing, now that rumor got out, you know, that you had said at the congressional meeting, 30% of veterans or something, and so that got them stirred up, so they're all supposedly turning in their discharge papers.
Did you find out who put that out?
No.
No, well then about somebody did. Why don't we find
somebody on the Hill did, and I talked to McGregor, and he said that there was no discussion.
McGregor was there.
But I thought there might have been something before you came in where the vice president or somebody else might have made the same.
Right. I bet you I would have said something.
Well, it could be also all of our people, Colson's office and all these other things that have been playing it down. You know, well, hell of them, they aren't all veterans anyway. Somebody in here could very easily have said that to it.
But it was not even discussed. That's what Baron Mike
did. Not with you, no.
And somebody, our congressman went back and said it. Is that what they mean?
That's where it came out. It was on the Hill. The White House had said this. The Gold Star Mothers.
Well, has it been knocked down enough or not, the story?
Oh yeah, that story didn't get any right at all. They said there was a rumor and it was denied by the White House, and that was the end of that.
All right.
But it got then started turning in their discharge papers, and now I think we've got to get somebody to ask for the discharge papers to look through them and see how many veterans there really are there with honorable discharges who served in Vietnam. You can tell that. Because the discharge papers show the theater ribbons that they got.
It's a miserable looking gun.
It really is. It's the scum of the... It's exactly...
It really looks like the unemployable scum of...
If there's 1,000 there, that's 1/20 of 1% of the men who served in Vietnam. And that's about
what you expect.
And it's the scum of the guys who served in Vietnam. And it's guys that probably got hooked on dope when they were over there and heard from
They look awful. They speak incoherently. They look like the sort of person that I think the more they can get on television, the better off we are.
Sick and speak when they're tested.
Now they're going to take them off now.
You won't get any violence out of them in any event. That's why we shouldn't arrest them.
Right.
Because they would just let themselves be hauled away. And then you'd damn well let a TV camera go in on some guy with no legs or something, you know, being thrown into a paddy wagon.
And one of this order is not carried out. We have a new council in the White House.
Oh, it didn't carry out.
No, I told Dean it's done. I told Mitchell.
There's no question.
Well, I know that Mitchell was arguing strenuously about the law this morning, and I said, God damn it, forget the law. He's worried about the Rock Creek Park. Well, forget it.
Well, the Rock Creek Park one is the other one. And Dean said, I was trying to get this morning, he said there's no problem on that. That we saw, we call this one. And then go right ahead on Rock Creek Park. We have plenty of time. That's not for another week. And I think that's set up.
Rock Creek Park.
Might be worth busting them and getting a confrontation. Why? Because they'll want to loose and tear the town apart.
They want what?
They start busting windows and all that. And they don't have uniforms or medals. They're just plain shit.
That's like the Chicago rioters. And that's going to help us.
Would they tear the town apart? They might.
They'll try to do what they did in Chicago. That's how they did it in Chicago, to try to catch.
Well, I thought you said, Bob, this is going to be a peaceful demonstration.
Saturday.
Now, this part, the Saturday one is.
Oh, that's different.
The big march is Saturday. The big march is Saturday, and that's the National Coalition for Peace, or whatever it is. And that's, they don't even march to the White House. They're going to gather on the Ellipse, and they're going to march down Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol, and they're going to have their activities at the Capitol, and then they're going to come back and have a rock concert in the Sylvan Theater at the Washington Monument Saturday night. That's Saturday's demonstration.
How many do we expect?
At least 100,000, maybe 200,000. Based on the busload, they've got buses and trains to 25,000. The factor has been in the past 4 to 1.
Yeah,
which you get
well out of the what figures are we getting out of the rest?
Half a million. Half a million, and we're trying to push a million, but it's kind of hard to get that to carry half a million.
Half a million is being pushed.
Yeah, and the biggest, yes. And it'll be the biggest demonstration in history.
Well, they have to go to 400,000 to make it the biggest part.
It won't be as big as either the biggest or the second biggest. It'll be the third biggest if it's, you know, which is, it's big enough.
Oh, it'll make it beyond that.
It is enough. It'll be big. They'll have a lot of people. But I don't think it gets a damn.
Don't give it. Don't assume that they aren't going to get a little rough too. Don't assume. I'll bet you they break some windows.
Well, they mean very well, and they
don't. I just think they're that.
But if any Davis group, you can be damn sure it's going to.
They're working hard. This group is working hard not to be. They've got your Quakers are all mobilizing marshals, and they've got 10,000 marshals. They say to
Quakers,
make sure that they keep them peaceful, quiet.
And they know those bad Quakers are ready to see me.
All their literature is, you know, that we lose our point if we get by, if we have any violence. That's, they really believe it.
That's a claimant.
Right. We should see. That's Kelly.
Go out and say, Jesus, you guys don't know how the president handles this kind of stuff. I mean, he can do a lot of that personal president.
I think he could, you know,
kind of reaction too.
He said that he thought he could handle the problem this morning with Marvin Cowell,
yeah.
I just don't want it to be built up into a huge
department. I don't think it's going to be, but I think it needs, it's John Scalia's view is exactly right. When something like that starts to bubble, it has to go into pop pants and don't let it, because then they start to...
Does this not demonstrate the point that I made? Those bastards in the bureaucracy over there are out to cut our throat down without any question.
Yeah.
They don't even allow something that they know is not a State Department issue. It's good, you know.
But you'll be here the 28th. 30th before you leave for California?
Yeah. I'll be all right, thanks.
Good. That's not going to invite you to breakfast.
I'll leave at 9:30, so we have time to start at 8 o'clock breakfast.
8:30.
8:30, it's just an hour.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Or 8:15, why not?
And that same time period, you've got a bunch of things to get out of the way in the next week.
Go ahead.
The, Mark wants a very brief appointment with, Dr. Franklin Williams, who's your representative for negotiating the trust territory of Pacific Islands. And it's mainly to get a photograph of the guy receiving the commission.
All right. Anything like that, just do what you know. I know I got. Anything you know, I have to do, just put it on.
Okay.
I don't have to prove it.
Then there's a question of meeting with Senator Long on the welfare reform package.
I don't see that right now.
He taking it up. House of Hope will conclude here Tuesday. The rules is going to clear for House debate in third week in May. They'll get it through the House. So the thing is to prepare for the Senate Committee on Finance to move on and Dallas recess, which they think they can do. What they're suggesting is a meeting with Long and possibly Bennett, with Hodson, Richardson, Schultz, Sterling.
When?
Thank you. They're suggesting April 26th. In other words, before the Senate consideration.
All right, fine. I had a drinking meeting going.
Right. At 5 o'clock, no drinks, just in the office.
All right.
The only other one is, I don't really think we're ready to go there. We talked, when you had Malik in here about the idea of from time to time you meet with a group of presidential appointees, new ones, to give them a presidential charge.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing to do, but the group they're suggesting starting that, I don't think it's the right group to start with.
All right.
It's something we want to do, but not
do you.
Yeah. I think maybe so.
Okay.
But not yet. Yeah. A very strong interest in the Darien Gap Highway Agreement.
Oh, I just signed
it. Yeah, but the question is whether you want to come back to California a day early to attend the signing ceremony.
Sure. No. Oh, no, no, no. Of course not. No. That's all. I don't have much interest.
It's going to be that big a thing.
No, I can't come back. One reaction that might be worth passing on with regard to the welfare thing. Apparently, a number of people, particularly our right-wingers, like it, and other entities as well. I don't know what you ran into, but apparently it's been quite outstanding. I don't know. How was it played? How did they learn about it?
TV. The judges have got very good television played Friday, Monday night.
They play the right kind of thing. Somebody apparently said they had something about the, the working thing.
That's what
my mother and my kids from Rio Grande, they got a little that into it.
Yes, but they got your working pitch in. I think some of them thought they were hurting it with it. Like the Boston Globe played it. It's a very big thing. A lot of it was played big in the press, too.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the opposition press played it thinking they were hurting anybody.
Because I didn't call them to go to work.
Have you talked to Colson since he was at the Harnett's dinner last night? He was at the construction deal. And he said the guys there were just ecstatic about it. A number of them he didn't raise the question, made the point to him, by God, the president really put it to him on welfare, and that's what he's got to do, get these people off their ass. Of course, that's the labor guys.
Crazy Salvatore is all in.
Jerry Ford thinks that too. He was all upset about it.
You see, Reagan's been hitting a raw nerve with this thing. And we've got to hit that nerve too, Bob. What I'm turning to do, I've got to turn around Hodgson and Ehrlichman and Schultz and Richardson. Yeah. I don't think Ehrlichman's too hard.
I was going to say, people sure don't want to know.
Are you sick of it? I was wondering if there was a way that you might take that and put it in the other things. Maybe you've already thought that of having it set out and mail strongly to Republicans and,
yep.
The conservatives, how would that be? I mean, the speech itself, somebody maybe just saw part of it.
And again, also get the, you know,
have a head of the text. Don't just send, see what really made it from the standpoint of the average person were the personal references that I had lived. So they must be put in, naturally edited, cleaned up, and so forth. Not just a handout to the press, you know. About bedpans and that sort of thing. Made a lot of people realize that he's been a handout for a mother, you know. Some of them could get out of work, too.
Cool.
Do it.
Sure.
Yes. You get household help.
And then one of those ones where you hit the right chord.
Let's get a good little mail piece out and get our letter from time somebody said this or something like that, maybe from Dole.
Yeah, I'd be able to do this one on a letter from Ronald Reagan and Nelson Rockefeller.
Yeah. One of the governors. Ronald Reagan, just like Reagan, I said. Why Rockefeller? Why not Reagan?
He kind of covered the whole spectrum.
So I'd be like to mail it out if he thinks well of it. I could have a better shot. Why not have Louis done it? After all, he's the chairman of the Republican governors. You do anything you want. And he could go write a loyal letter. I'm the chairman of the Republican governors conference. I'm very proud of what the president did. So on and so on. How's that sound to you? There's a man.
That's my point. Calling back to every senator saying,
bush?
No.
It had
lots of trouble then.
No, but it had the handling of the Vietnam War.
Yeah. And they currently didn't have that. And we're going to, which we've got to, you've got to counter challenge sometimes. They always bitch about we don't return their calls and handle their requests. Now we go back and say, obviously your communication had some problems too. Now what can we do to do it nicely? To get through, get these things through so that they do get your attention.
Well, what I was thinking though was that in the future on polls, I'd handle their review. But remember I set up that system, or you the two of us did together long ago about calling the cabinet people on the phone. I really feel about that's worth a little time by top Senate people. I mean, I just call the senator or the congressman and say, would you be interested in this, and I'm sending you a copy. Get the two numbers. Really, I think there's some way we've got to get out that section of the poll, which I don't think y'all ever poll on. Not just, do you favor a date, but do you favor a date yet? Yeah. And then add. And then include in that also, add again, hypo again, what you did at the war. Do you know what I mean? You can put the approval disapproval on that. Or on the picture, but the approval disapproval on the war. And the questions that you were, worked out. Just four questions. And call and say, it's a battle. It really is.
Rivet was so aware of all of those. I mean, he obviously has better staff. Of course, he would be as a leader. And knows the right stuff gets to him. He's aware of what's going on. These other guys stumble along.
These other guys stumble along. But as I say, even before a meeting, I didn't feel any little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Well,
how do we do it? I know we get the stuff out.
What's the question?
Price index is good.
It is good, I know. Start with Schultz. 3-2. Justin. Stand good.
0.2, yeah.
That's a hell of a good number. I don't see how we
can. First quarter,
2.5.
It's 2.7. That's really good.
Is that adjusted or raw?
Must be adjusted.
Well, that's the lowest since 67. It's a hell of a year.
Christ. First quarter last year was 6.2, second quarter 6.2, third quarter 4.2, fourth quarter 5.2. First quarter is 2.7.
I'll hold up for that, but nevertheless.
Yeah, these are just always receiving cash.
Isn't that something wrong? Well, there ought to be a real, McCracken's going to breathe. Let's get a
McCracken?
Yeah. On this one, you got to breathe something. When I just told Schultz, is when the number is good and you can't do anything to knock it down, let it go out and breathe. What the hell are you going to do?
Everyone's just going to get someone else to say it's good news, then he'll go out and say it appears to be.
Appears to be moderately good.
Moderately improving.
Right. Well, could I suggest this would be a good one to get to McGregor and you call people on the hill and for them to, I don't know, put your PR